Hallelujah. First of all, it's a grace and peace to the household of faith and for all those that whom the Lord will call us to look in. This, as Elder has already said, our International Day, annual International Day observance. We certainly praise God for that. And in that, we are going to find out scripturally why the Lord has led our pastor to opt for an International Day observance in lieu of any other observances. Amen. Of which none are wrong, but they are all good. But he has been called of God to opt for International Day observance because that is which, amen, points to our name, our eternal essence. And you will scripturally see what we mean. Ella Littleman is our designated greeting. And I'm going to ask Ella as well as those in attendance to turn to Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to take one more verse in lieu of the verse that is mentioned in our document and in your bulletin. We're going to take Colossians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. But our subject matter, all of God's people, all of God's people are one in Christ. Now that's just not talking about one in purpose and one in cooperation, the things that we seek for in time and physicality. But that's speaking of all of God's people, irregardless of where they live currently, presently, temporarily, or where they hail from, what ethnicity. All of God's people are actually one in essence. And you'll be hearing that word again, actually. It simply means that which is real, that which remains, actually, that which is true, the true truth. All of God's people are one in this venue, in Christ. And we're not speaking about physicality there, the higher attainment of that is speaking of our actual, there it is again, our actual existence, which is eternal or in eternality, more so than in temporality and time. So, all of God's people are one in essence, spiritually, eternally,
yes,
in Christ Jesus, in the venue of Christ Jesus, in the person of Christ, in the body of Christ. Now, I'm going to ask Elder to turn, as if he has already not, to Colossians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, and you before me do likewise, and we are going to lay a scriptural foundation. I'm kind of scriptural top heavy. We're going to lay a scriptural foundation proving scripturally that all of God's people are truly, actually one in Christ Jesus. When the scriptures speak, we speak. When the scriptures are silent, we're silent. Amen. Okay, Elder, if you will, begin reading at Colossians chapter 3, and I want you to go and begin at verse 10.
Colossians chapter 3, beginning with the 10th verse. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power.
And ye are complete in him. From the King James Version. From the King James Version, ye are complete in him. All right, read that one.
Verse 11. He said, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands.
That's Ephesians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10.
Colossians chapter 3, verse 10.
Amen. That's where I handed Elder, amen, the scripting of the verses, and I misstated. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10.
Colossians chapter 3, verse 10.
First from the King James Version.
And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him.
Yes. Now, from the Interlinear Greek text out.
Colossians 3:10, Interlinear Greek text. And have put on the new man, being renewed in full knowledge according to image of the created him.
Yes, if you notice something about the word man in that verse, it is in italics, meaning that it was not that word man, which is anthropos in the Greek language, is not in the original scripting of that verse. Amen. But it was added by the translators into that, supposedly for clarification. However, it reads again, and having been clothed, it is in the aorist tense, and the aorist tense is a completed act. When was it completed? It was always completed. And the only venue you can have where an entity is always having been in completion is in eternity. And having been clothed upon the new, as it were, we are clothed, not necessarily in flesh is speaking of, but it's speaking of the new nature, the spiritual, eternal nature. Having been clothed upon the new, the renewing in knowledge. Now we have two news there. We have new and we have renew. In scripture also we have the old nature or the old man. It speaks of the old because that is that one came afterward. We were created in Christ Jesus in eternity. And we were in time after the creation of time manifested in the flesh and were assigned and sinful Adamic nature. Now, it speaks of renewing. Re means again. Again new. From our consciousness being placed in physicality in time, while we abide in time, being renewed as our consciousness are taken out of time and we abide and abound consciously in our actual eternal abode, which is in Christ. Renewed in knowledge. And it's proven out through the word here, epignosis. Now, if it were just gnosis, it would mean fragmentary and incomplete knowledge, which we all have in time.
Amen.
But it's epignosis, meaning clear and exact knowledge of that is consistent with who we are. We are members of Christ's body. So again, new in consciousness. When our consciousnesses are taken out of time and we are manifested where we always are and were in eternality in the body of Christ, all knowledge will abound. That's why the term there, epignosis, clear and exact knowledge. It also could be recognition or consciousness, that word. According to, here's further confirmation of that, according to likeness, appearance, image, stature,
yes,
form of the, you can say one, because it's in the singular, of the having created him, the new, amen, the new nature, that which we actually are. Amen. We're only temporarily in flesh, in physicality, in time, temporarily. This is not our actual abode. The earth is not our home. We are actually residents in the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Members. Residents in the heavens in the body of Christ. Members of that body.
Yes.
According to likeness, form, or image of the having created him, the new man, whom we actually and eternally are.
Amen.
Verse 11. Where not there is in the body of Christ, or in Christ, as our subject matter says. All of God's people are one in Christ.
Amen.
Where not there is, where not one is, Greek, that is non-Jew or Gentile, and Jew in the body of Christ, not one is Jew or Greek or Gentile, not circumcision, not, even though that was, amen, was given unto Israel for identification as being the people of God, it is not in the body of Christ. Paul counted all those things of a lesser sort when the Lord caused him to focus on him.
Amen.
He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Amen. Circumcised the eighth day. Set under the feet and teaching of a noted rabbi and teacher of his day. But he counted all those things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, who we actually are. We are Christ. I'm mm-hmm. going to come on out with it.
Amen.
We are Christ. We are his body. You don't look at body parts of yours, amen, and identify them. Hey, liver George. Hey, lungs Samuel. No, they are part of the body, and we recognize the head as the entity of recognition. Uncircumcision, not in Christ. Barbarian, that is non-Greek, not in Christ. In our eternal actual essence, sent in pagan, slave, or free person. Not in our actualized essence in Christ,
mm-hmm.
but the all and in all Christ in actual existence, which is our eternal existence. The all and in all Christ. All right, reading from the document now until our next scripture come upon us. Colossians 3:11 states, one is not a Greek and a Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, a barbarian, a Scythian, a slave, a free man, but the all and in all Christ. We are members in our actualized abode, members of Christ's body. No more ethnicity. There. Here, scripturally speaking, and this is the only expression that counts, the church, that is the body of Christ, and I want to make recognition here. The church in this dispensation is Christ's body. Christ's body. No other of God's elect, from Adam to the tribulation saints, have that designation as the church, which is his body. None other. But those of the grace dispensation, amen, which are us in this dispensation of God's dealing with his elect. We are the church, the body of Christ. You can look at that in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18 and verse 24. It will be spelled out. You know, sometimes people want to say, well, show me that in the Bible. Colossians. One place is Colossians chapter 1, verse 18 and verse 24. The body of Christ is the only entity where all racial, national, social, economic distinctions are entirely non-existent. In America and the world, they are existent. But in the body of Christ, our actual abode, all of God's elect, his people in the grace dispensation, those distinctions are non-existent. Racial, social, economic, and others. Referencing Romans 1, 14 through 16, and Romans chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. 1 Corinthians 12 through 13, and Galatians chapter 3, verses 27 through 29. Elder, if you have not already, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13 we will deal with now. We are laying a scriptural foundation, proving and underscoring that all of God's people, although we are diverse ethnically in the earth in time, that does not abide in our actual eternal essence. It's here, but not in our actual essence. And it's temporary.
Amen.
It's temporary. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, L. Verse from the King James Version. Read 12 and 13.
1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 and 13, King James Translation.
Mm-hmm.
For as the body is one,
yes,
and has many members,
many,
and all the members of that one body,
being many,
are one body.
Even though there are many members, only one body and one head, Christ. Yes, yes.
So also is Christ. For by one spirit. Are we all baptized into one body? Whether we be Jews or Gentiles.
This is certainly saying much of the actual here. But we have to go further in exegesis.
Mm-hmm. Whether we be bond or free. And have been all made to drink into one spirit.
Elder, now from the interlinear Greek text.
1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, interlinear Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
For as the body.
One is.
And members many.
As but all.
The members. Of the body. Many being one. So also the Christ.
Many members. Amen. But one body. We all, in our actualized essence, our real, our eternal essence, which is the body of Christ. No, we are not inheritors of the eternal earth as an abode or placement. That is unto Israel and those Gentile nations that will be joined to Israel in blessing, according to the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis 12. Amen. But as I said, so say I again, there is but one group that are designated the body of Christ, and that is the church in the grace dispensation.
Yes.
From Adam and all those saints of the ages, none are the body of Christ, but we in the grace dispensation. We occupy the highest place of all of God's elect.
Yes.
We are the echelon.
Thank God.
We are Christ because we are his body. The head is not without the body. Yeah, we belong to Christ. Yeah, we are of Christ, but we are Christ. Yeah. Because we are his body, we have no existence but Christ. He is our eternal existence.
Yes.
None do we have but him. All right. Verse 13. For indeed,
by
one spirit. Go ahead, Elvin.
For indeed, by one spirit,
We
all into one body.
Into one body.
Were baptized.
And that's not water. That's not dunking, sprinkling, pouring, or chunking. By one spirit were, an aorist indicative in the passive voice. The passive voice speaks of the fact that we did not do it or had nothing to do with it. Aorist tense speak of a completed action. When was it completed? It was always completed. And the always completed venue is only in eternity.
Yes.
Where time is but a creation that abides in eternity. And when God is finished with time, it also will be done away with. But we remain. We are eternally the body of the eternal one, Christ. We're baptized, whether Jews or what, Ellen?
We're baptized whether Jews or Greeks.
Or Greeks.
Whether slaves or free.
Or free.
And all. One spirit.
And one spirit.
We were given to drink.
We were given to partake. All. All the elect. Into one body. By one spirit were we identified in or placed into that one body. Identification means to make to be the same. In a courtroom of testimony, they try to align the testimony so that it's identical. It aligns with other testimony or the same as other testimony. Our baptism or placement in Christ. Spirit, not water. We were identified with him.
Glory.
Made the same of him. Belonging to him. In him. Hallelujah. All right. Now, let's turn over to Galatians chapter 3 for further foundational proof that all of God's people are one in essence. Actually, in Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 through 29.
Amen.
Galatians chapter 3, verses 27 through 29.
Galatians chapter 3, verse 27.
Mm-hmm.
For as many of you.
First from the King James Version, for as many of you
as have been baptized into Christ,
amen, we just explained that, yes,
have put on Christ.
Have put on Christ, or been clothed in Christ, his life, his nature. All right, brother.
There is
his essence.
There is neither Jew nor Greek.
There is neither Jew nor Greek.
In there is Christ. Neither bond nor free.
Bond nor free. In Christ.
There is neither male nor female
in our actual abode in Christ.
For ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
One. One body. One essence in Christ. Now from this, and go ahead with 29, that was it. It's on that script.
Verse 29.
I won't back it.
And if he be Christ,
and if he be Christ,
then are ye Abraham's seed,
then are ye Abraham's seed,
and heirs according to the promise.
And heirs according to the promise. That word promises, the word the, if in the Greek is a definite article, it is not in the original scripting. We are not heirs according to the Abrahamic promise.
That's it.
That word is a declaration or a declaring. The is not there. We are heirs according to promise. God, God caused Abraham to believe him, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Amen. And we are also likewise caused, predetermined, pre-assigned to believe God. Not all, but some. Some will never even hear or have left this earth, haven't heard of Jesus. And certainly have not came down to make professional faith. But that does not determine our eternal existence in the body of Christ. For by one Spirit were we all chosen in Him before the foundation or creation of the world. Before the creation or foundation of the world. Being holy, separated unto Him, and unblemished, faultless, spotless, because we bear His righteousness, it has been imputed or accounted to us before Him in love.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Next verse,
and
from the answer menu.
Verse 27.
27.
For as many as unto Christ,
in Christ,
ye were baptized.
Ye were baptized.
Christ
is indicative and passive voice. Ye were baptized. Indicative mood is a fact. A fact is a thing done. When was it done? It was always done. The only venue for always doneness is eternity, not time. Time had a beginning. Eternity has neither beginning nor ending. Aorist tense, indicative. And the passive voice there is to back it all up. You didn't do it, it was done unto you.
Amen.
That's God's grace. He graced us in the beloved. Baptized Christ, ye having put on. Same thing. In the venue of eternality.
Yes.
We were clothed in Christ. Place in Christ, eternally, not time, before ethnicities, before diversity. All right, Ella, verse 28.
Verse 28, into the Greek says,
in the body of Christ, what?
There cannot be Jew nor Greek.
That is in time, in physicality, ethnicities, genders, kinship, and the like. In time. In Christ, there cannot be Jew and Greek or any Gentile. Read Ella.
There cannot be slave nor free man.
There cannot be slave. Slavery stays here. Slave nor free man. Free person stays here. We are body members in Christ. What else?
There cannot be male and female.
There cannot be male and female. Enjoy your beloveds in a conjugal relationship, what God has given here now.
Amen.
Our relationship in the body of Christ exceeds and excels anything that we can imagine in physicality.
Mm-hmm.
We love our mothers. We love our spouses. We love our children to pieces. Many pieces. Something. But our eternal abode in Christ, it trumps everything.
Amen.
And time
for relationship. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank God.
You think you love now.
Amen.
You love in limitation.
Mm-hmm.
But our actual abode being Christ, His body of Him, no limit. Infinite
love.
Infinite character, infinite concern, infinite compassion. Oh my God, infinite, unlimited. Praise Jesus. Go ahead, Ellen.
Yes.
There cannot be male and female.
For all ye one
are in Christ Jesus.
29.
And I've already done verse 29. Enough anyway. The new man, back to the document, the pastor's pen that our pastor has written under the auspices of the Holy Spirit, giving scriptural assessment of this document. Not just putting something together or saying something. He wrote this pastor's pen, or was called to write this pastor's pen, by the Holy Spirit to convey to God's people truth that is in our gospel alone. In the mystery writings, given to the Apostle Paul by the resurrected, glorified Lord Jesus Christ, for the Grace Church. This is our truth. The new man, who is a component of the body of Christ, a new nature, is void of any physicality, but filled unto the fullness of God. Referencing Ephesians 3 and 19 and Colossians 1 and 23. Our final upfront scriptural documentation that all of God's people are one. Not our final scripture, but our final upfront, early on, basis, foundation, proof that all of God's people are one in Christ. Actually. Elder, Ephesians 3, chapter 3, verse 19.
Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, King James text.
First, the King James verse.
Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge,
yes,
that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God.
And to know, well, let me wait till I get it into Lady.
That's
the end of that verse, Ellen?
Yes.
All right. Not from the interlinear brief text. Yeah.
Ephesians 3:19 is the brief text.
Uh-huh.
And to know the excelling.
And to not know, but having known. To having known. Aorist infinitive. Infinitive is a verbal noun, but it's in front of it is the aorist tense. Completed action. Again, the only venue you can have an always completed action is eternity. And to having known, as we spoke earlier about that knowledge, that knowing, that epinosis, our consciousness. When we leave this venue, our consciousness will shed earthly physical, be shed of earthly physical consciousness, and again, again, renewed in eternal spiritual consciousness, where knowing is absolute, not in part. And to having known the excelling
knowledge.
Now here it is speaking of fragmentary and incomplete knowledge. But it's a sign of God, even in this venue, knowing Him. Knowing Him in this venue is a sign of God. Some know no more than others. Some know less than others. But it's all according to assignment. Paul asked the Corinthians, what have you that you have not received? And if you've received it, why act as though you have not received it? Amen. In other words, God has everything that we are about, God has graced it unto us.
Yes.
Including believing
and
suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Philippians 1:29. It have been given unto us on the behalf of Christ.
Amen.
Not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake.
Amen.
And our suffering don't even compare to His suffering for our sake.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Knowledge, love of Christ, in order that ye may, having been filled, having been completed, to all the fullness of God. There it is right there. We are having been completed or been filled to not most of, not somewhat or some of, But to all the fullness of God. Problem is, God's people don't know who we are. We do not know who we are. This is not wrong.
Amen.
Pastor just said before I came up, said, if we are saved, we are saved. Ella Lippman spoke, if an atom, or no, hydrogen, if a nuclear device went off in your backyard, you are still safe.
Amen.
If a deranged bullet find you, you are still safe.
Amen.
If somebody put that nuclear device on your car seat beside you and it goes off, you are still safe. Because the body is gone anyway by God's decree.
Yes.
It's gone.
Yes.
2 Corinthians 5, first and second verse. That the house of this earth, the house of this tabernacle, may be having been destroyed according to God's decree. It's already gone. We have, right now, not going to get some. We have an earthly house from heaven. It's eternal in the heavens. We have it. The body of Christ. The body of Christ. Yeah. All right, Ella. Lastly, Colossians 1:23. Colossians 1:23. We are filled with the fullness of God. We are complete. We are Christ. All creation is in Christ. We are His body. He is not exempt or without us. Our eternal abode is not physical. It's spirit. It's eternal. Not temporary like this stuff is. You have it. Colossians chapter 1 verse 23.
Colossians chapter 1,
verse
23.
First from the King James verse.
If ye continue in the faith.
If you continue in the faith.
That grounded in self.
That up front seems to put a condition on us. There can be no conditions in grace. None. No conditions in grace. We are who we are according to God's grace.
Hallelujah.
If ye continue in the faith, what?
If ye continue in the faith,
read on.
Christian. And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel.
Grounded in self, and be not moved away from the hope or the expectation of the gospel.
Which ye have heard,
and
which was preached, to every creature, which is under heaven,
whereof I, Paul,
am made a minister.
Now from the Pennsylvania Greek text. If indeed, the next word is a particle of emphasis after if. A particle of emphasis. That word is better is if indeed or since. I'm going to give more proof. Ye continue or continuing. I know there are no gerunds in the Greek, words ending in ing, but it's a present indicative. We're always continuing. Indicative mood is a fact. A fact is a thing done. It's a present indicative. It is a fact. So no if in the usual connotation of that term. If indeed ye continuing, a foregone conclusion. In the faith. Now, further proof of our continuance. No, you're never just trying to make it. You were never. Just trying to make it in. You were eternally in. Most of us just didn't know it. Now, in fact, it has to be revealed to all of us of God at varying times. He has assigned the understanding, the revelation, the knowledge that we belong to Him. In the faith, having been from Him. That is a perfect indicative and the passive voice. A perfect participle in the passive voice. Having been founded or grounded or established, we are having been eternally established. So we are never just trying to make it. And steadfast and not being moved away. You say, well, duh, I can't seem to keep step in Christ or according to Christ. It's not according to you to keep step. We do as we are enabled of God. And we can only do that which God has enabled us to do. Our works have been pre-ordained and pre-assigned. Our good works pre-assigned unto us. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. God has already pre-ordained the works, the good works that we will walk in. The good conduct and fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the Apostle Paul, he said, when I would do good,
evil
is present with me. Having not being moved away, that's according to God. It's the passive voice. We are not doing it. So we won't be able to, shouldn't look down on anybody who can't seem to walk circumspectly. Because our time has come and will come again. You're going to say some more things that you shouldn't have said. You're going to think some more thoughts about folk that you shouldn't have thought. Hallelujah. Present participle, the middle of the passive. Present passive participle. Not being moved away from the hope of the gospel. It's not our job to stay saved. We are saved and complete. We are finished. Nothing can change that.
I hear you.
Nothing. All the nuclear weapons together.
I hear you.
All the unbelievers together. You, yourself, and I together cannot change that.
Hallelujah.
We are having been completed. Not being moved away. Passive voice. We're not doing it, God.
Amen.
Completed in eternity. In eternity. From the hope of the gospel which ye have heard proclaimed. I hear it. Those of us that's assigned to God decreed in eternity who would hear. In all creation. In all creation wherever his elect abide. Alright, reading again. Hence, back to the first paragraph of the document. Hence, the focus is the exclusive focus. Exclusive focus is the figure of God being filled with the fullness of God. The exclusive focus is the figure of God and being filled with the fullness of God, which express having been joined together and synchronized in one body, Christ. With this documentation in place, it is clear that God from the beginning decreed inclusion of all ethnic diversities in the body of Christ, the church. Therefore, he foreordained that there would manifestly, in time, manifest, that is, being shown forth, be distinctions of races in the world, but they have no correlation in his elect. He did not choose us because we were Jew or Gentile or this ethnicity or that ethnicity. We were chosen before ethnicities.
I hear
He chose us before the foundation or the creation of time. And then, in his same decree, he assigned us to the various ethnicities. So don't, if you can help it. No need to say, I wish I was this ethnicity. God assigned you there. So there, by God's grace and mercy, we are alive. Therefore, he foreordained that there would manifestly be distinction of races in the world, but they have no correlation in his event. Even the eternal inhabitants of the earth are ultimately drawn from all tribes, people, and languages. But they were his elect eternally, and he placed them, amen, in the eternal earthly abode. Standing before the throne and before the Lamb, referencing Revelation 7:9. The fact that this diversity is durable, it lasts in the earth, thus testifies that God is delighted in the way that his glory is refracted and is focused characteristically in different ethnic groups and cultures. The fact that these ethnic differences are all manifested, rooted in one original set of parents, Adam and Eve, dictates against the exalting and valuating of any group over another, or demeaning any group under another. All humans are equal in all things, brace yourself, including their depravity. Depravity means wickedness, crookedness, and wrong. And you get from wrong doing. Hence, the body of Christ's exclusive focus is on the figure of its head. And this should be more important and decisive in spiritual relationships than the differences of physical diversities are. The diversity means variety and difference. Variety and difference. Different ethnicities, different races. Human origins are only temporarily common in Africa. It's according to God that there be diversity. However, the scriptures consistently warn all of God's elect against using diversity as the means of either boasting or belittling those who have received the nature of God. Differences are good and important in definitive phrasal operations, that is, assignment of genders and age distinctions, but they are only incidental to one's call and placement in Christ. You were called, chosen, elected before your ethnicity,
amen,
before creation. In the culmination of the antediluvian age, the period before the flood described in the Bible, all human lines flowed from identification of the sons of Noah. Shem, Ham, and Jacob. They're the only three that they flowed from. And have flowed into far more diversity than three ethnic types of human beings. Just to give one example, Genesis 10:6 states, the sons of Ham are Cush, Egypt, Put, and Canaan. The ethnic and racial differences between those of the Canaanites, Cushites, Egyptians, and others, so documented, were significant enough to be scripted in God's word. In other words, race is a fluid concept, but its boundaries are strictly consigned to God's purpose of calling out of such in the establishment of a covenant people, Israel, with whom he had eternally instituted an earthly relationship to the praise of his glory. We are members of the body of Christ.
Yes.
We have our heavenlies above.
Yes.
We have access to the earth naturally, but our abode venue is the heavenlies, and the heavenlies are in Christ. God was delighted in demonstration that his election was absolutely independent of the plethora of great many of all variations in human beings. Moreover, the scope of diversities of the human race is diluted by the fact that all of mankind have emerged, oh my God, as depraved creatures.
Amen.
Depraved is wrong, wicked. You have a sinful nature. It's assigned to all humanity and God's elect as well.
I hear you.
According to Adam, we were passed down, and according to the flesh, we were passed down a sinful nature just like everybody else, even though we belong to God. But it ends here, and it stays here, and it stops here. It is not of us in any way in our actual abode, spirit, members of the body of Christ.
Amen.
No sin! Not even the least of Jesus. None. Hence, the scope of depravity is so huge that there's no serious possibility that any merit of worthiness could ever be extracted out of anything sourced from humanity. Sinful nature is against God all the time. That's why you get tired. He manifests. If the Lord don't subdue him, he's always there to manifest against the love of God that's been put in your heart in the revelation of him. You needn't worry, that other boy will be alone. As soon as you get in your car and start it up, and get on the street. And you've been waiting around the corner. Because you're the same things you thought when you weren't talking. This fact alone reduces any influences of the diversities of people. In fact, there's more likelihood that ethnic typology rather certify that all are emphatically the same. We all get mad, we all have prejudices. Yes, we do.
Amen.
Yes, we do. And the like. Those who utilize such terminology as God's ordained diversity fail to realize that all such identification modes are absorbed in the manifestation of God's eternal purpose. In this light, no validation of diversities in humans is justifiable for destructive purposes of men. No justification. In documentation of the scriptures, God commanded that the so-called original three races should diversify increasingly rather than be preserved after the flood. As he set in motion a process of increasing diversity of ethnicities, referencing Genesis 10 and 5. Elder, one last scripture. You have Genesis now, Elder? One last set of scriptures. This is testimony, let me know where you're at, that God ultimately is not concerned with limiting the diversity of people, but his eternal plan exudes the multiplication of increasing diversity and authenticating the fact that there are only menial differences in the human race, none of which events at the shore indicate any merit. Word. All sin and come short of the glory of God. All. Every ethnicity. You have it, Elmer?
Yes.
Okay. Read Genesis chapter 10 and give me quickly verses 1 through 5 to help.
Genesis chapter 10. Verses 1 through 5.
Mm-hmm.
Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah,
mm-hmm.
Shem, Ham, and Japheth,
mm-hmm.
and unto them were sons born after the flood.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 2. the sons of Japheth, Gomer and Magog, and Magadan, and Japan, and Tubal, and Meshech, and Chiris, and the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, and Rephath, and Tagarma.
Yes.
And the sons of Japan, Elisha, and Tashish, and Kittim, and Dodaim. Verse 5. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided into their lands. Everyone after his tongue, after their families, in their nations.
It started from the three sons of Noah coming out of the flood. Everyone else was destroyed. We all come from Adam. And the diversity started as the human race progressed. The expressions of multiple diversities in the human race exclusively exist under God's providence of manifestation of His eternal purpose. God's ultimate glory instigates peace within the diversity of those whom He has, without defined exception, united into one through the imputation or the accounting to, of His righteous nature. All of God's elect in the body of Christ, praise God, and beyond, are imputed His righteous nature. The greatest testimony is that all these diversified groups who were once outsiders have all been blended into Christ. As insiders, we who are outside, to Christ be inside. All of us! Those that are called into the family of God are no longer identified by diversity of race, but new creations in Christ. Remember, in Christ. Down here, maintain your ethnicity and diversity. But eternally, actually, truly, really, we are members of Christ's body. Reference 2 Corinthians 5:17. He or she is no longer in Christ, in our actual hope, identifiable in the flesh. As all suspicious prejudice says, hallelujah! Hostilities, hallelujah, have died away, and something beautiful is now manifestly exuded in reconciliation, respect, harmony, in ways that are incomprehensible to the human intellect. In Christ, where all the elect actually, eternally abide. These diversities of differences, which were once so destructive, have now all been absorbed in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, at the center of all that are in the church, His body. Diversity for diversity's sake alone is meaningless, even when it is popular or politically correct. God's people must only be interested in moving in the visible experience of Christ being all and Christ being manifestly in all, irregardless to ethnicity or diversity. When Jesus Christ is all and in all, ethnic differences transition from barriers to blessings. From barriers to blessings. As even barbarians and the most distant of those that Paul identified, that is, Scythians, are in the new race. The church, the body of Christ. The head of this race is no longer Adam, but the last Adam, Christ. Reference 1 Corinthians 15:45. For who is Christ? That one who is Christ. God's eternal purpose in this new race of humans is that all ethnic groups were included in the elect. I'm talking about inclusion. We were all included in the elect, and none deserved it. None! In all of humanity, in all of the existence of humanity. The Grace Gospel Church Ministry believes and teaches the eternal work of God evinces a master plan of inter-ethnic marriage, and it's not talking about physicality. of the intermarriage of the races necessarily.
Glory to God.
Of interethnic marriage in the new creation, our eternal Lord, out of the body, out of time, out of physicality, in the body of Christ, in manifestation, where we always were, which is demonstrated through the manifestation of diversified humanity as it was swallowed up in the essence of unified deity. And we reference Ephesians 3:10, which we had great enlightenment come to us from the Holy Spirit through our pastor on this morning in the Sunday school. So again, we say to all, and I've been spreading this around my workplaces, to all in all seven continents,
yes,
all of God's people are one. One essence, the body of Christ, one in Christ Jesus. God bless you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.